How do you spell a book? I'll teach you right now. B as in, book. And O as in OBGYN. And K as in OK. But I won't read that book about an OBGYN anytime soon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Your Normal Books. My name is Kaylin. How are you guys doing today? I am doing good. I'm so tired. I got off work last night at 10:30, and then my alarm went off at 4:30. I hit snooze till 5:30, went into work at 7 this morning, left around 10, came home, let my dog out, fed her, showered, went to a tattoo appointment, sat in the chair for 2.5 hours. Yeah, about 2.5 hours sat in the chair for, and then, and I got home, ate a snack, and then now recording. So I've had a long day, and like, so where I got my most recent tattoo done, it was an outline that I had done and I had it colored in today. And I decided I was going to do the most painful one first. So this one is like located like just below my armpit, and it goes from like the armpit all the way down to the elbow. So it's on my inner arm. So I've got one more outline to color in, then we're going to fill in all the untouched skin and to make a full sleeve. But I am, son of a bitch, I am so sore right now. It's wearing a t-shirt hurts. Anything that touches the new skin or the tattooed skin, it hurts. We only had 2 hours because she's just like, I totally forgot it was you, so I booked, so we only have 2 hours to do this in, so we're gonna have to like move fast. We went a half hour over, which was okay. But we didn't take the only time that we took any sort of break was when I went to go to the bathroom. So I had like a 3 minute break, and then we went right back at it. So that was, oh God, that is an experience that I do not really ever want to have for the next couple years, at least, because I'm planning on, once I get this sleeve finished, I think I'm going to wait a year, not get a single tattoo next year. And then, after that, start working on, getting my other sleeve done. Cause I have the theme of what I'm going to do with that. I just don't have any images. I have one image I'm going to use, and I kind of know where I'm going to use it, but I don't know what else is going to go around it. So it's something that I'm definitely going to have to talk with my artist about, and then go into that more organically than kind of what we were doing beforehand, which was trying to make everything fit in together. So we'll see how that goes. God. I one of my friends who lives in Boston, her and her husband came to visit. Now she's originally from New Hampshire area, And she came to Ohio for college, stayed in Ohio for about 10 years. And now her and her husband live in the Boston area now. And so her husband's from, is from Ohio, is like, apparently only grew up like 20 minutes away from me. They're in town for like a family Easter thing. And everyone was meeting over at her in-law's place. Last night, unfortunately I had to work, so I wasn't able to get to see everyone, but I was able to go over there for about an hour before work. And I didn't let her, I asked if she was at the cabin, and she told me yes, so she didn't know I was coming over, though. So I drove over, I called her, and I'm just like, hey, I asked her, are you busy right now? She's just like, no, just filling up Easter things. And I'm just like, well, you should come outside. And she got really excited. She's filming as she's coming out. She sees me and she's just like, you bitch. And it was a fun reunion. I haven't seen her since last, oh God, June or July, maybe, was the last time that I saw her. It was whenever her baby shower was. So we talked about it, and our plan is like, okay, so we didn't keep up at, like, probably like a lot of people did. We didn't exactly keep up the best communication between each other during the pandemic. So I told her that we really need to start doing like monthly Zoom calls just to see each other. Even if we do like a monthly like game night, because we used to do that all the time where we just go over to someone's house, have game night, just do something. And I'm just like, we could do that. Like someone would have to do is like put a trivia game on their phone and then just play it that way. So I think like I know that I need to like really work on communicating better with friends, because like I've said on the podcast before that, you know, I'm in therapy, I have depression, and so I didn't realize how deep into my depression I let myself be until recently. And I realized that, you know, people did reach out to me, but I never just kind of like reached back because I was just in this like pit. So I'm in a better place now. So I'm working on, you know, reaching out more. So yeah. But before we get into any more sadness of any sort of thing, we're actually going to get into our book. The book that we have this week is Hollywood Roommates by Elizabeth Briggs. Now, about Elizabeth, she is a New York Times bestselling author. She graduated from UCLA with a degree in sociology and has worked for an international law firm, volunteered with dog rescue groups, and mentored teens in writing. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband, daughter, and a pack of fluffy dogs. Our characters in this book are Allie, Parker, Brooke, Shane, Matt, and Luke. So we start off where Allie is at lunch with her boyfriend Parker, and she thinks he's going to propose because they're at the restaurant where they had the first date. He got her flowers and he looks really nervous. He's not proposing. He's breaking up with her. Tells her that He started seeing someone 2 months ago, and he wants his new girlfriend to move in, and she needs to move out within the week. I'm sorry, but really? So when she asked, like, how long have you been seeing this other person, he told her 2 months. Now, they have been dating for a year, and they moved in 6 months ago. So, fuck this dude. So she's devastated, and right now she has no place to live because she just got booted from the apartment that they were living in, and it's Parker's apartment. She moved in with him, and she is, when she moved in with him, she let go of the lease of her own apartment, and nothing in Parker's apartment is in her name. So she talks to her best friend, Brooke. Now, Brooke offers to let her stay at her place. And, you know, that would be fine and dandy, except for they would be at each other's throats within a week due to their personality types. Now, Brooke is a... How did they describe her? Brooke is like a very... clean and neat person, and Allie can be. But even though they've been best friends through college, it would not work with them moving into living together, especially. So this book takes place in LA, and Brooke lives in a tiny one-bedroom apartment. I mean, there's not a lot of room. So the next thing that she could do is she could... she could move in with her sister. But she knows that if she does that, her sister is just going to kind of like... say, like, I told you so, that Allie was rushing, and kind of just, like, her sister would just kind of push her, like, fantastic life onto her, and she's just like, no, that wouldn't work either. So, it comes down to option three. Now, option three is moving in with Brooke's brother. Now, Brooke's brother, owes Brooke a favor. And so this is him repaying that favor. Brooke's brother is also a famous TV actor, but he agrees to let Allie move in. So when she first gets there, like, she thinks that she's at the wrong house. No, so she knows that her brother's famous. And she knows this, but what she isn't expecting is the house that she pulls up to. Because it is, first of all, it's not a house, it's a mansion. It's like, it's a mansion beach house in Malibu. So once she's inside, she meets Matt Hart, who's an actor and has some good roles, but he also works as a bartender. She meets Matt's brother, Luke, who is also an actor and was just named People's Sexiest Man Alive. They welcome her with flirty smiles and hand kisses. And then she meets Shane, who just acts like an asshole to her. Just basically says, like, doesn't smile, doesn't do anything, and brings the guys over to him, and they have a discussion before they agree to let her stay. So the reason that they have the discussion is because Shane sees that Allie is gorgeous. And he knows that all that's going to come from that is trouble. Because everyone's is just starting to flirt with her. So he makes a roommate contract, which includes a NDA, an NDA, and also an agreement that no one in the house will sleep with each other. So we find out the reasons why Luke and Matt are living with Shane. And it's not because they can't afford places of their own. They can. But So this is Luke's story. Luke was married. And last year he went through this horrible divorce. He ended up finding out that his now ex-wife was sleeping with her co-star. So, not the greatest. So after the divorce, when they separated and filing for divorce, he started drinking heavily, doing drugs, sleeping with really almost everything that moved. So Sean gave him a place to kind of just get back to himself, figure out what he wants in life and everything else. Now, Shane is also not having them pay rent. They do force the money on him, though. Matt is an actor, but he's struggling to get roles, and that's because everyone wants him to be his brother. So Luke is this huge action star, and everyone, and anytime Matt goes into a audition, they're just like, well, can't you just be like more like your brother? Here's the thing that I hate. I hate it when people just assume that you should just be exactly like any of your siblings. So in high school, my brother is 2 years older than me. So I was a freshman when he was a junior, I was a sophomore when he was a senior. And every single teacher that he had, I usually had, and they would always compare me to him. They're just like, okay, I wasn't the greatest student. I got by. I got mostly B's. I was on honor roll a handful of times, but every time, it would always just be just like, well, your brother was so good at this. Good for my brother. Great for him. I struggle with this subject. He didn't. Bully for him. But the thing is, not every sibling is just like them. Yes, I may look like him, but I'm not him. I do not have the same work ethic as him when it came to certain subjects. And that's something that teachers, And I feel like it's a lot of things that not just teachers, but in everyday life, people don't understand. You are not like your siblings. You are your own entity. And I understand how Matt feels, having this amazing brother who is in all these big projects and is ranking in all these different awards. And they think, oh, well, this is just a younger version of Luke. And it's not. They have two totally separate personalities. Anyway, Allie works as a high school English teacher and is currently on summer break, but will do some summer school along with working with her sister at her vet clinic. So when Allie moved out of her ex's place, she grabbed some stuff, but she didn't grab everything that she needed. Or really, she didn't grab all of her stuff. So there's one day where she needs a hair dryer and she never got the stuff out of Parker's apartment. And so she asked Luke for one. Well, Luke's just like, we can do one of two things. We can either buy you all your stuff, or we can go back to your ex's apartment and get everything. So they go with option two. So all three of the guys plus Allie go to Parker's apartment, grab her stuff, come back to their apartment, and it's like this huge party that goes on, because, you know, this was something that Allie was scared to do. She was scared to go to the apartment because she was just like, I'm gonna see Parker, I'm gonna see him with his new girlfriend, and, you know, it's just going to devastate me, because she's not fully over, she's scratching the surface at being over the relationship. But doing this is a good step for her to completely get over that relationship 100%. And when she gets there, she sees that the new girlfriend doesn't seem to be like she lives there at all. Now, once they're back at the house and they're celebrating, Allie freaks out. So we learn that she is deathly afraid of spiders, which, granted, I'm not deathly afraid, but I don't like spiders. I don't like anything that has, like, more than two legs. How they move is gross. But when I was a kid, I had this... I still remember this nightmare to this day. I had a very vivid nightmare that me and my brother were trying to get into our basement. And we opened the basement door, and there was just this I will say that at the time our laundry was in the basement. But there's a gigantic spider that got into the laundry detergent, grew like... 10 feet, no, probably grew to, I'm going to say, 50 times its size, and then was trying to attack me and my brother, and we only had a screwdriver. I woke up from that dream completely terrified and didn't really want to go down my basement again for the longest time, even though that's where our Nintendo 64 was. Anyway, so for a few weeks, everything's going great in the house. Allie's starting to catch some feelings for the guys, and she does tell Brooke about it when they're out shopping. Now, Brooke is just like, this is not a good, she's just like, I knew this was going to happen, because here's the thing. You see a guy, you get to know him, you catch feelings real fast, and then it doesn't go your way, and then you're heartbroken again. It's a cycle that you do every single time. And so Brooke is just like, make sure you really have feelings for these guys. Just like, take, if anything happens, take it slow. Don't rush into it. So Allie really takes this to heart. And she's really just trying to be friends with the guys. But that all changes after an argument with Shane that soon turns into them making out. The other two find them lip-locked, and they discuss the clause in the roommate agreement, which Allie did not see and or read. But that clause states that if one of them kisses or does anything else with Allie, the others could do that as well, as long as they have Allie's consent. She does kiss the other guys, and how all this comes about is very organic. It's not like she's just like, hey, your turn. No. There's situations that come up, and that is how she kisses the guys. Now, her next thing is she's just like, they're going to make me choose. Like, that's... they're going to make me decide who I'm going to date and then what's going to happen about all that. And the thing is, she wants to date all three of the guys. And she drunkenly does blurt this out after a night of drinking tequila. After a night of drinking tequila for me, who knows what I'm going to sprout out? I truthfully don't. I don't know what I say half the time when I'm drunk. So, but anyway. She drunkenly tells the guys all this, and you know, the guys all talk it over, and they're kind of like weighing the pros and cons of it all. So in the morning, once Allie's hangover has cured slightly, they tell her that they talked about it and that they agree. They're going to see how this goes. So they're each going to date her. Soon their relationships turn up a few notches and she's sleeping with all of them. How she actually has sex with Luke for the first time is so goddamn funny. So this is how it happens. Allie's just getting out of the shower. She goes to her room. She's about to go to the closet when she finds a big spider in front of her closet and she starts freaking out. She drops the towel. She picks up her phone. She takes a picture of said spider, sends it to the guys saying that she needs help. But when she went back to look at the picture she sent, she realized that she captured herself in that picture via the mirror, full frontal. And she is absolutely mortified at this. But Luke comes rushing in and is just like, I will save you from the spider. And that's how they have sex for the first time. Luke confesses to her that she is the first woman that he's had feelings for since his ex-wife, which that's huge. He invites her to the premiere of his new movie, and that goes smoothly. And afterwards, she has sex with all three guys around the pool. Now, the new school year has started, and it's going good. So she's heading, it's after school one day, she's heading to her car and Allie's name gets called out. She turns around and she sees it's Parker. And he's just like, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I want you back. I should have asked you to marry me, blah, 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 blah. And she's just like, I don't want you. I saw what kind of guy you were. And I'm glad that I know this now, that I didn't have to wait until after we were married for this. She's just like, I don't want you. I'm in a new relationship. And she doesn't specify, like, he asked her if it's like one of her roommates. And she says, yes, she doesn't specify which one or how many or anything like that. When Parker leaves, he says something that sends chills down her spine. And it's almost in the sense of, if I can't have you, no one can. A few days later, she gets called. Her boss, the principal, asks her to come to his office. And he's just like, I think you probably know what this is about. She goes, I really have no idea what it's about. So there was a news article that had come out, and it had pictures of her having sex with all three of her boyfriends. And since she works at a private school with a lot of influential parents, they're firing her. Parents have been calling in, and any sort of scandal with a teacher, that teacher is going to be either suspended or fired. And unfortunately, that's happened so many times. We had an incident like that at my old high school, a couple months ago. And, you know, it's... with that instance, I don't know if it was true or not. I don't know. Anyway, so she gets home, she's ignoring all the calls from her family and Parker, and she starts packing her things. She's talking to Brooke now. She's going to move into Brooke's for a little bit and then figure out what she's going to do from there. Now, all the guys are sent home from their jobs as well. Basically, everything that they're doing is put on halt. And they don't know what's going to happen with their careers now either. But they see the note that Allie has written for them, basically saying, telling them that it's over, that she's breaking up with them. And they realize that she is more important to them than their careers. So they get her, they stop her, and she's just like, they tell her that it's going to be okay. That they all just have to believe in their relationship. So she's just like, okay, we'll give it another chance. It's now around Christmas, and they're having a party at their house, inviting family and friends. And some of Allie's family is still getting used to the idea of her in a relationship with three men. As the guys predicted, none of their career suffered. Matt went on to star in a rom-com and is getting more offers for roles. Luke's latest movie was a box office hit, and Shane's TV show is getting another season because they want to see how he is with his new love interest, who, incidentally, is also Brooke's new girlfriend. Parker is the one who took and leaked the photos, thinking that it would bring Allie back to him. Brooke, who's a lawyer, hit him with some legal action, and he's no longer in their lives. After everyone leaves, the guys have a few early gifts that they're going to give to Allie. The first one is a brand new car, since hers was on its last leg. The second gift is an engagement ring. And they also tell her that there's a private island that allows marriages between multiples. And that is the end of the book. I like this book. I really do. And you know, it does... I think one of the reasons I like this book is you have this everyday person, this everyday girl. who meets and lives with these fantastic famous guys, and she's not with them because and she doesn't get with them because they're famous, they're rich. No. She gets with them. She starts a relationship with them because they she starts a relationship with them because of who they are as an actual person. Not who they play, not the money that they have, nothing like that. Yes, Shane does rub people the wrong way. And it could have been the way that he grew up. I don't know. I really do like it. It's got some very interesting points in it that you can use in a real life situation. And a lot of that is having friends in your corner when life isn't going your way. Allie's kicked out of the place where she's living by her ex, and she has nowhere to go. And with friends' help, she has a place to stay. And I like that. I love that human element that we will help the best that we can. Because even with how things are nowadays, that doesn't always happen. If any of us are stuck in a hard place, not a bunch of our friends will help us in the way that we need it. Sometimes it's because we're afraid to ask for that help. So, I mean, this book can be taken in so many different ways. It's, you can look at it and in all these different points of view, whether even from a whole like mental health standpoint, you can kind of look at it that way with the helping when someone is struggling. So. Yeah, I mean, it really is a fantastic book. With that being said, we are actually going to, hold on, baby, come here. We are actually going to pick our next book that we are going to read. So I've got to figure out how to do this because my dog is being extremely needy. I'm going to, hold on, baby. I am going to mix all the suggestions while I tell you guys where you can find me and all that. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Not Your Normal Books Podcast. You can also email me at notyournormalbooks@gmail.com. Any book suggestions, thoughts, feelings, questions, your own take on any of the books that we've done so far. Also, please, please, please rate, subscribe, and review. Every little bit helps other people find this podcast. So, that being said and done, our next book and or series is... Burnout by Cora Lee June. This is another standalone. So... that is what our next book will be. So I will see you guys all next week.